The waiting room. A land that seems to be still, where time seems to stand still. A place where everything is put on hold. It often feels like you've been there for hours. You check your watch. It's been about 3 minutes. When we're in the waiting room, everything comes to a halt. Progress ceases. Sometimes it's as if God has led you down this long hallway, ushered you into this room with a big sign that hangs over it that says, "Waiting Room." You enter this space, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then you wait a little more. It's as if time is stopped. And of course, you have no idea how long you'll be there. 3 more minutes? 4 more minutes? 3 more months? 4 more months? 3 more years? 4 more years? Now, when we find ourselves in these waiting rooms, well-meaning friends often stop by to visit. They say, "Yes, yes, you're waiting." Sometimes they may say, "Wait." They may even say, "Wait for the Lord." In anguish and in frustration, you may respond, "How long, O Lord? When are you going to do something? I can't take this waiting much longer." In these waiting rooms of life, we have an abundance of questions. Who? What? Why? Why am I waiting? And for how long? How long, O Lord? One of the most important pieces of wisdom in the Bible is an invitation to wait on the Lord. It appears numerous times in various places throughout the story. In fact, in many of these instances, God promises special blessings for those who wait. It seems that most of these stories also acknowledge that waiting is very, very hard. But why is waiting so hard? It likely has something to do with our makeup as human beings, part of humanity. We like to take matters into our own hands, don't we? We like to follow our own ways, our own plans, yet over and over and over again in Scripture, we're told to wait. A wise friend of mine, when I was younger, offered me this piece of advice. "You'll spend many days praying to God. Often you'll be asking for a yes or a no. Often, almost always," this wise friend said, "God's response will be wait." Even in our modern age of conveniences, waiting is still a big part of life. Maybe you're thinking of a doctor's office and how you always just seem to wait. Even though, yes, my appointment was 45 minutes ago. Or at an airport and the board says delayed, canceled, waiting. How about that line when you have just two items and you're at the grocery store and you just need to get out of there in a hurry? And you look at the lines and they're all incredibly long, even the express line. And you're standing there waiting. Or how about being stuck in traffic behind that person who just seems to be out for a Sunday drive, yet it's Monday at 8 a.m.? The facts are that most of us spend a good portion of our lives waiting. Maybe you're waiting for the phone to ring, for news, for word. Maybe you're without a job and you're waiting for news about an application. Maybe you're ill or a loved one is ill. You're waiting for health to improve. Maybe you find yourself on a diet and you're waiting for the scale to just move in the right direction ever so slowly. Maybe you're waiting for Mr. or Mrs. Right. Maybe you're waiting for friends, wondering. Maybe you're waiting for your family. Maybe you're waiting for a word from God. The simple fact of the matter is, as much as we might dislike it, we spend a huge portion of our lives waiting. I want to offer three ideas about waiting this morning if you find yourself in that place. The first piece of wisdom about waiting is that waiting is about the passage of time. In so many places in the Psalms, we discover that time is required. Although we want it to only take a minute, it seems to take longer than that. The psalmist says this, "I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning." Here the psalmist is thinking about those night guards in the city. The one or two people who would stay awake where everyone else was asleep. And they would wait all night for the dawn. They would wait for the sun to rise, for the passage of time, so that they could be released from their duty and they too could rest. Now those night watchmen knew that the dawn would come, but it comes only with the passage of time. Challenging concept in our "I want it now" generation. I want it instantly. The world seems to tell us, in fact, that we can have so many things instantly. Yet the passage of time is a big part of waiting. Waiting also involves seeking God, seeking the Lord. When we enter this waiting room, this place, we're invited not just to sit or to be there, but we're invited to spend time seeking God, reading God's word, being reminded of those promises God gives to us in Scripture. We're invited to spend time praying, asking for wisdom, for discernment, for help. To spend time, too, meditating on who God is. What is God wanting to do in us and through us and with us? Seeking direction. Indeed, as we spend time in Scripture or praying or meditating, we might be invited to discover or be in touch more intentionally with our own attitudes, our own purpose, our own priorities or objectives in life. Waiting involves seeking the Lord, and it involves the passage of time. And waiting in Scripture also involves hope. In fact, waiting and hope in God's story are wound together, like two strands of thread in a rope. Here's what Romans says. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait. We wait for it with patience. Waiting and hope are intimately connected. Just like waiting, maybe, for that inheritance that you've been promised. You expect, you hope that it will be made available to you someday. Or waiting for the next episode to come of your favorite TV show. You know that one that you think about all week, waiting for the next episode to air? Or they put out all 10 episodes at once on Netflix and you have to wait 6 months for the next 10 episodes? But you live in hope that they're coming, that you'll hear the end of the story. Waiting involves an expectation of something special. Waiting means anticipation and a confident hope that something will take place. Hope in that which is not seen. Hope is about leading lives that lean forward, that move forward, even though we may not be able to see what that next thing is yet. Hope fuels the imagination for the way things ought to be, for things to be better. Possibly like a woman who's in labor, cannot wait for the pain to be over, but even more than that, cannot wait to meet this long-awaited child about to be born. In this human experience, pain, waiting, and hope are not separate things, but rather they are intricately woven together. In Romans, Paul reminds us that these things are intricately woven together. Suffering and waiting and hope. Paul says the wait is worth it. For God's promise is that everything, all things, will be redeemed. All things will be revealed. All of creation, our bodies, the earth, everything around us will be redeemed. Everything that fell with Adam will be set free by Christ's redeeming work. It's an amazing story, an invitation to hope. And in the meantime, we wait. I don't know what you might be going through at this moment, but whatever it is, hear these words of encouragement in Scripture to wait on the Lord. And as you sit in that waiting room, whatever it looks like for you, take time to pray, to read Scripture, and to seek God. Be patient and allow God to work on God's time. Trust in God, that God will renew your strength and provide you with every good thing that you need for the journey. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.